Appreciate Tyler leading our singing this morning, and appreciate all of you being here today as well. I wanted to say a few things before we got started with our lesson. And first of all, next Sunday begins our gospel meeting with Andy Baker. And we still have some flyers in the back for you to take advantage of, to hand out to others. And we would appreciate it if you would certainly spread the message that he will be here next week. And he's going to be talking to us on a subject that is related to our theme for the year, which is Christ the King. And his topic will be the many crowns of our King. And I'm really looking forward to him being here next week. And we're going to have a wonderful service next Sunday morning. And so make your plans to be with us next Sunday morning. Also, I wanted to say something about the mission trip that we are planning on doing in July. And that is, we're going to go back to Brazil again and work with the same congregation we worked with last summer. It seems like it's only been a week, right? But anyway, last summer in Rio. So if you have always wanted to go to Rio, this is your opportunity. And you are welcome to join us on this mission trip. Now, it's going to be some work because we're going to be working with them in the same manner that we did last July. But this will be a great opportunity, and we'd love for as many people to come as can come with us. So we've already got at least two that I know of that are committed 100%. And that's me and my son Edward. And so, but we need to know who else wants to go so that we can go ahead and order those plane tickets. The sooner you order them, the cheaper they are, you know, and we don't want to spend more than we have to. But at the same time, if you are wanting to go on this trip, it will be a good trip to go on, and you will certainly enjoy being with the brethren in Rio, Brazil. And so that's something for you to think about, and we need to know as soon as you make the decision if you're going. And let's talk about that for the next month, and hopefully we'll have some decisions soon. But also, don't forget about camp that's coming up this summer, Camp Ida. We're going to be session 5. That'll be the first week in July. If you have kiddos, third grade and above, who want to go to camp, we'd love to have them go with us. And if you'd like to volunteer at that camp, we would love to have you come with us as well. All right, so having said those things, let's get to studying God's Word. And I hope you brought your Bibles with you this morning. We don't have a PowerPoint this morning, but I know that some of you have paper Bibles, some of you have Bibles on your phone. Sometimes it's easier to find those book, chapter, and verse references on your phones, you know, or on your device that you can find it with. But this morning we're going to be looking at several verses from the Bible, and so I want you, first of all, to open up to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 as we think about the purpose of the Bible. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, the purpose of the Bible. The Bible does have a purpose, and that purpose is revealed to us in the Bible itself. Here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Now, in verse 14, Paul says to Timothy, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy Scriptures." Notice that, the holy Scriptures, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, we have just read the purpose of the Bible right here. The Holy Scriptures, that's the Bible, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's the purpose of the Bible in a nutshell. That is, to help us to understand what it means to be saved through Jesus Christ. And you see, everything in the Bible relates to that one major purpose. All right, let's give the invitation. You can go home. No, I'm just kidding. We got to talk a little bit more about how this all fits together, right? Because we need to talk about how the Old Testament relates to that purpose, how the New Testament relates to that purpose, and how we apply that purpose to our lives today. So let's think about this purpose of the Bible, to bring salvation through Jesus Christ. And when we think about the Old Testament, we're thinking about the books of Genesis through Malachi. We're thinking about the New Testament. We're thinking about the books of Matthew through Revelation. And all of these books are inspired of God. And they all relate to this one purpose. So let's think about the purpose of the Old Testament and the purpose of the New. What is the purpose of the Old Testament? Well, let's look at Galatians 3 and verse 19. And we're going to be in Galatians 3 a little bit this morning and thinking about the purpose. But look at Galatians 3 and verse 19 to begin with. And you see, Paul asked this question very specifically here. He says, what purpose then does the law serve? What's its purpose? And his answer, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Now you'll notice in some of your Bibles, the word seed may be capitalized because that word seed there is referring to Jesus Christ. And he makes that clear later on in Galatians chapter 3. But again, the purpose of the law was, number one, to address transgressions so that the seed could come. All right? Now think about that for a minute. Because when we go back to the old law, the Old Testament, and we look at it, we see a lot of problems, right? God gives the law. He gives the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, all those things. And then we go through that law and we see how it's applied to the nation of Israel specifically. And also we see there in the Old Testament a lot of redressing problems because of unfaithfulness on the part of God's people. And so transgression, to address transgression so that the seed could come is the basic idea. Now look at Romans 3 and verse 20 as we think about the purpose of the Old Testament. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law addresses the problem of transgressions. It gives us knowledge of sin. But look, it does not justify. The law, the Old Testament, cannot do the complete job that God wants to do in regard to salvation. And to understand that, we've got to go all the way back to Genesis 3 and verse 15. Because when we think about the purpose of the old law, the purpose of the old covenant, it was added because of transgression so that the seed could come. And that seed is prophesied about here in Genesis 3 and verse 15. You may remember that in that context, Adam and Eve had just sinned against God. And God was now dishing out the consequences of those sins. There was consequences for Adam. There was consequences for Eve. And there was consequences for the serpent. And the serpent was the devil, Satan. And to the serpent, God said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And some translations have that word seed capitalized again, because this is talking about the coming of the Messiah. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now this curse that was given to the serpent was not just talking about snakes. It's talking about the devil. and how God was going to defeat the devil through the seed of the woman, the seed which was going to come. And so when God gave this prophecy here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it was about the triumph over Satan. And this happened when Jesus Christ came into the world and he died on the cross and he was raised from the dead. But how would the Messiah come into the world? You see, that's the question that is still open when we read Genesis 3:15. And that's the story of the Old Testament, the coming of the Messiah into the world. God needed certain things for that to happen. He needed a people, he needed a land, he needed a nation, and he needed a law in order to bring the Messiah into the world. In Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3, we see God choosing the people. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So you see, God is working on fulfilling this promise that he made in Genesis 3 and verse 15, that he was going to destroy Satan through the seed of the woman. And he chooses the people, and then he chooses the land, and he chooses a particular tribe out of this people. Of course, we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Jacob has 12 sons, and those 12 sons of Jacob become the 12 tribes of Israel. And out of those 12 tribes, there is one tribe from whom this Messiah will come. And it's spoken in prophecy in Genesis 49 and verse 10. It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people." The word Shiloh here means peace. The one who makes peace is the idea. And it's him that the people are going to obey when he comes. So another prophecy about the coming Messiah. And so the Old Testament, the purpose of the Old Testament again, to bring the Messiah into the world. He was going to come through Judah. And then more specifically, he was going to come through the line of David. This we see in 2 Samuel 7 and verses 12 through 13. "And God told David, 'When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.'" Now, this is another reference to the coming of the Messiah through David. We know that the Messiah was going to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7 and verse 14 predicts this. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means God with us. And so he was going to come through Abraham, through Judah, through David, born of a virgin. And Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, that this Messiah was not going to be just anyone, but he was going to be God himself. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So we see all of these things coming together, God working through history in the Old Testament to bring the Messiah into the world. And the place he would be born was also prophesied. Bethlehem, Micah 5 and verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. So we see God working to fulfill this great promise that he made in Genesis 3:15 by having a people, a land, a nation, a law, so that the Messiah could come into the world through Abraham, Judah, David, born of a virgin, and born in Bethlehem. And Jesus and the apostles then affirmed this purpose. In Matthew 5 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And Jesus Christ fulfilled all the prophecies regarding the Messiah. He fulfilled all the purpose of the Old Testament. Therefore, Paul says, and we're going back to Galatians chapter 3 now, Galatians 3:24, "Therefore the law was our schoolmaster or tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." You see, the law could not justify. It could only point out the transgressions and sins that people committed. But it was there so that God could develop a people, and through that people, the Messiah could come into the world so that through faith we could be justified through him. And so the law was to bring us to Christ, a tutor or a little boy leader. The idea in that word tutor is not the idea that we understand today. This was a household slave who would take the child going to school by hand and make sure that he got to where he needed to get to. The little boy leader, the paidagogos, literally in the Greek language. And so that's what the law was, to take us by the hand and lead us to Christ. That's what its design was. Every book of the Old Testament contributes to this one central purpose. And why? Because in order for the Messiah to come into the world, God needed a people to have life. They needed to live in a certain way. They needed to make sure that they survived, that they didn't get stomped out by their great enemies that they had. And so we see in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, God urging them to choose life, not only for themselves, but also for their descendants, because God wanted them to be alive so that the Messiah could come into the world. Leviticus 18 and verse 2 says, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." See, God gave these statutes and judgments, these teachings, so that the nation would have life, physical life, life, so that the Messiah could come into the world. That's what the purpose of the old covenant was about, to preserve the seed line so that Christ could be born into the world. The purpose of the Old Testament. What about the purpose of the New Testament? When we turn to the pages of the New Testament, we read these words, the first words in the book of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 1, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And now you see the Messiah has come into the world. And so the New Testament reveals to us who the Messiah is and what his purpose is. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23 and Mark 1 and verse 14, it says that Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what is that gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 1 through 4 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." There's the gospel. That Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. That's the gospel. And the purpose of the New Testament is to reveal that gospel to us. But who was the Christ? He was the Messiah, the one that God prophesied in the Old Testament would come through Abraham, Judah, David, born of a virgin. And you see then, that promise was fulfilled. And when Christ died on the cross, yes, Satan bruised his heel, but Jesus Christ crushed Satan's head. Because through him, he made it possible for all mankind to have eternal life. And so now we see the purpose of the New Testament, to declare the gospel, to preach the coming of the Messiah, to let everyone know that God's purposes have been fulfilled in the Old Testament, and that now the message is of salvation through Christ Jesus. In Romans 16, verses 25 through 27, we read this. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest or revealed, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone be wise, be glory, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." And so Paul is talking about the purpose. He's talking about the gospel. The Old Testament was a mystery. We didn't know exactly what was going on, but now we see it revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus then brings us the message of salvation. And so the purpose of the New Testament is to reveal salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's the gospel. That's the purpose of the New Testament, John 3, 16 and 17. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4 and verse 12. And God revealed salvation. He revealed righteousness through the gospel. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And so God's righteousness is revealed through the gospel. Romans 3, 21 and 22. "The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ." To reveal the teaching of the gospel through the apostles and prophets. Now think about Ephesians 3 and verses 2 through 7, where Paul says, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now what about this revelation? "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. And so there's the purpose of the New Testament, and to reveal the mind of God. But God has revealed his mind to us, his thoughts to us, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. And in Hebrews 8 and verse 10, we read, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So what is the purpose of the New Testament? To reveal the gospel, to reveal salvation through the gospel, to reveal God's righteousness through the gospel, to reveal the teaching of the gospel, to reveal the mind of God as it is revealed through the gospel. And how do we apply this today? First of all, we preach Jesus Christ. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1, 28. In Acts 13, 38 and 39, Paul said, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Paul says in Romans 7, 24 and 25, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." We preach Jesus. We preach the plan of salvation that Jesus gave when he said in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Acts chapter 24, verses 46 through 47. "Then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And so we have preaching and hearing and believing and repentance and baptism. That is the plan that Jesus gave, and that is the plan that we must preach as well if we are going to preach salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we teach the doctrine that is taught by Jesus and the apostles. Acts 2, verse 42, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And we must continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Colossians 1, verse 23, "We must walk in the light as he is in the light. And thus we will have fellowship with one another and with Jesus Christ, because the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all of our sins." 1 John 1 and verse 7. "And so therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. What is the purpose of the Bible? To make a person wise in salvation through Jesus Christ. The Old Testament brought us to Christ. The New Testament reveals the Christ. And we apply the message of the gospel today to everyone who would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Hear his great message. Repent of sin. confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Do you need to be made wise unto salvation today? Do you need to fulfill the purpose of the Bible in your life? Oh, that everyone would. So that God's purposes in revealing this great and holy word would be made known in your life. Maybe this morning you need to become a child of God and fulfill those purposes. We stand ready to help you. And so whatever your need may be, you can come and make it known right now while together we stand and while we sing.